Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Take It by Bold Faith, already in progress.
I could go on and on and on, people all over this building that are actually being used by God to do such great and awesome things. But if you want to get in on it, just learn a few scriptures. Learn this principle. Remit people's sins. Number one, make sure that you confess their sin, repent of their sins for them, whatever. If they can talk, get them to do that themselves. Ask them, what do you think might have put you in this place? What sin did you think? Now, see, the curse without a cause can't come upon you. So if you don't do something that's sin, it can't come upon you. I mean, this is a hard thing for most people to swallow, but it's a fact. You know, I think of the number of people that we see healed. We get testimonies back every night when we sit down with that computer now. Every day, we got praise reports coming back in, and we got prayer requests going out. We remit people's sin, and this is the principle that we go by. If we get them to confess their own sin. Because they need to know what sin they committed that did what it did, so they won't do it again. Amen. Is that right?
Right.
You don't want people to be prayed for and not know what causes it. In other words, if you don't know that sin causes your problem and you've been sinning, in fact, we had a great praise report this week. This is a young man from Alaska. Somebody gave him one of my CDs. And he stuck it in his truck or whatever and he started listening to it. And he went home and told his live-in girlfriend that he wasn't going to hell. He said, I just got through listening to a pastor that says if I live in this state and if I die in this state, I'm going to hell. And he said, I ain't going to hell for nobody. There ain't nothing in this world good enough to go to hell for. Is that right?
Right.
Ain't no girl, no boy, no nothing. I don't care. There ain't no sex in the world good enough to spend eternity in hell for. I don't care if you had it 100 years. It still ain't going to be worth that. You know, I'm telling you, but people don't understand. But God said in His Word that if we live like this and do this, He told us this in several places, that if we live in sin, those adulterers and fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And He was talking to Christians. So if He's talking to Christians, you don't want to be one of those Christians that winds up in hell, do you? So anyway, he said, I ain't going there. He said, you know, I'm moving out. You know, either we're going to get married or ain't going to be no more relationship between us at all. I am not going to hell for this. No way. And then he called our ministry and told Jeff about it. Isn't that something? In other words, all we did was tell him what the scripture says. And he listened to it. And then he decided to change. I wonder how many people are living in sin today. If you don't believe, you know, that these bodies that we live in are slowly but surely going away. Yesterday, we had a family reunion, and I couldn't believe how old some of them folks had got. Of course, I'm still a youngster. See, I'm spry, getting there. Oh, Lord, forgive me for lying. I mean, you know, when I looked at us, I mean, I just think, this cycle that God gives us. Here's my little nieces and nephews and all this over there. And some of these young girls, you know, that are 20, 21, 22, 23. And they got babies that are on now 6 months old to a year old. And I see all this little herd of little bitty critters running around on the floor, running. And somebody wants to take your picture and a little guy comes running right between your legs, you know. And I thought, just a few years ago, I was one of those little critters. And now that I'm on the other end. You know, and I was telling one of my cousins or whatever, we were talking about that and her husband, they're getting up there. I think he's 75 now, so she's about 73 or something like that, 74. And I said, yeah, the other day, Cheryl was in there in the bathroom. She was getting ready to go do something, go somewhere. I was in there with her, and she held her arm up. She said, "Honey, would you look at this?" And I said, "It's your arm. What's wrong with your arm?" She said, "No, look, the skin. Look how loose the skin is." I said, "Honey, I still love you with the loose skin." "Doesn't make any difference. You got loose skin." She said, "It's terrible." Now then, let me tell you. When Solomon said it's all vanity, Miss Jackie, is it vanity? But you girls like to be tight-skinned and look beautiful, right? Yeah, I know Cheryl does everything she can to be beautiful, but and she does a good job. What is the problem with all of us? We're all wearing out with age for the simple reason that God said in His Word that you're only going to live 70 or 80 years. And I don't care what you do. I go back and look at King David, and I look at King David, and King David, a man after God's own heart, died at 70 years of age. He died at 70. And I think of the men that died. Well, Hezekiah. You know, Hezekiah died at 55. Yeah. Now, is that something? 55. You know, we try to do everything we can to live long. But if you don't get in this book and you don't learn to do what God told you to do and you don't learn how to stand on His promises, your chances are you will not make it as a Christian. He'll either that or for some reason He'll take you home early. Because just like Dave read Psalm 91 a while ago, did He promise to satisfy us with a long life?
Yes.
Yeah. What if you don't know that? What if you don't know Psalm 91? I wish I could remember what city that was here in the state of Texas in World War II. But whenever the boys went to war, all the people in the city, we used to be a Christian country. You know, and we're still, I believe, a Christian country, but not like we used to be. I remember this little town, which I can't think of the name of it. It's like mine. The little town I was raised up in, 1,500 people. I mean, on Sunday, people went to church. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate that today people don't stay married to the same mate. You know, they don't even plan to do that. When I went to high school, actually there was only 25 people in my senior class. But when I graduated from high school with 25 seniors, all 25 of them had the same mother and daddy they had when we started school. And there was no divorces, none whatsoever. Today, we got so many divorces, people don't even try. I mean, you know, forgive somebody 490 times, forgive it. Forget it. You know, you do something to your mate, I'm out of here. It's just upset them one time, they run off. Well, I mean, a bunch of wimps, you know. We really are a bunch of wimps. You need to learn to get along with everybody. Somebody went down there and put every one of those boys' pictures. There was 40 or 50 men from that little town that went to war. They put every one of those pictures behind glass at the county courthouse. And somebody every day came down there and quoted Psalm 91. It was right there in several places for you to see. So if you didn't know it, all you'd do is read it. But somebody would come down there and read or quoted Psalm 91 every day during World War II till the war was over. And out of those 40 or 50 men that went to war that they read that over, when they come home, every man came home and not one man even had a scratch.
Amen.
Not a scratch. Now, if that Psalm 91 will work for those boys back then, will it still work for us today? Yes, it will. The church is the most powerful entity on earth. If we know it. I mean, just think. When you think about that little story of Miss Carrie, her and her husband going all the way to Florida and praying over a relative, and then in a couple of days and a week later, that relative is still out of hospice, out of the hospital and at home, something happened there. You reckon all that was just a coincidence or what? You don't think so?
No way.
The doctors sure don't believe it anyway, do they, Carrie? You know, I mean, we pray and just think. I'd like to challenge every one of us this week to find you somebody that needs help and start doing something for Jesus. You know, when you start emailing things and you start finding out how to do this and you start praying for people and then in a day or two or three, did it boost your faith just a little when y'all got home and your relative called and said you're out of the hospital?
Yes.
You think, wow, this stuff really works, huh?
God is good.
So now then you're saying, Lord, give me another one. Okay, now don't say that unless you're ready. I told y'all this story about the guy out in Washington when I went out to Seattle or wherever it was. Somewhere out there looking at some buildings years ago when the company I worked for. So Sunday morning, I thought I'll go to church. So I get out in my car and I start driving down the street, and all of a sudden there's a big church. I said, okay, go in there. So I just pulled in, went in there and met two or three or four people. Nice church. It seemed like a Pentecostal church. And when the pastor come up, he was a nice young man. And he come up there and he says, you know, when I went to seminary, they didn't teach me about demons. But he said, I got to studying about demons. I wanted to know about demons. And so he said, the church I went to and the seminary I went to, they didn't teach me. So he said, I'm studying about these demons. And he said, the more I study, the more I get, and the more I'm ready. I said, okay, Lord. One day I said, okay, God, I've got this. I understand demons. Send me a demon. Now, you better be ready. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Do you think he's listening?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, he's listening, I guarantee. So this pastor, this is the only thing I remember about his sermon that day. It had about a two-hour service, but this is the only thing I remember. But, boy, I remember this well. He said that afternoon after I'd made that statement to the Lord that send me a demon, he said, I'm walking home, because I only live four or five blocks from the church. He said, I'm going along there. And all of a sudden, he said, beautiful day, gorgeous day. He said, all of a sudden, I hear a scream, a blood-curdling scream. He said, I look back over here, and there's a set of apartments over there, and said, an old, white-headed woman, hair everywhere, with a great big butcher knife in her hands, running straight at me, screaming, I'm going to kill you. He said, man, I started digging out, running to the house. He said, for the next three blocks, my shirt tail didn't even hit my backside. I'm going so fast. He said, I get up there about three blocks, and I thought, I begin to look back, and I don't see nothing. And I stopped and looked back, and I said, wow, wonder where she went. And the Lord says, I thought you were ready. So he sent that demon, didn't he? I thought you were ready. So don't make a stupid statement like that unless you're really ready. If you're really ready, you don't have to worry about it.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, titled Take It by Bold Faith, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.